All right, let's take the Word of God and go to Philippians chapter 4. And the verse we've arrived at is verse 14. And I'm assigned 14 and 15. Excited about how the Lord will help us tonight through the Scripture. Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. God will bless his word. Would you join me in prayer and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Master and Lord, I pray tonight that you would communicate these verses to your people, Lord, as your spirits communicate them to my heart and minister them in my soul. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you would have your perfect way. Give us understanding and get all that you deserve from our lives. We love you, Jesus, for we pray it in your name. Amen. The word that occurs in verse 14 and verse 15, you could preach several things from this text. You could talk about the missionary giving, but I'm not going there tonight. In verse 14, he says, Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, we've already heard great explanation in preaching about how the Philippians gave to the Apostle Paul. And he uses the word in verse 14, the first word, notwithstanding. He said, you know, I appreciate what you have given me, but I really didn't need it. He said, it's not like I was in want. I know how to live in a basement. In other words, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to send me this gift. I was fine without it. I was content without it. And then he goes on to say, as we heard this morning, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's not like if you had not sent me what you sent me that I was going to fall on my face, because I have all sufficiency in Christ Jesus my Lord. And it was not that I was at the end of my rope and you gave me this and I got through. He said, no, nothing like that. I know how to be content. I was doing fine. I can do all things through Christ. But then he said, notwithstanding. Even though that's true, even though I didn't have to have it, I didn't necessarily need it, I was sustained by Christ without it, notwithstanding, ye have well done. It was good what you did. It was a deed well done. It was fitting and proper and good for you and pleasing. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did, here's the word, communicate with my affliction. In the verse 15, he says, now you Philippians know also the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, there it is again, communicated with me. Notice verse 14, communicate with my affliction. Verse 15, communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Let me talk just for a minute tonight in the Bible about communicating. Communicating. Communication is not just something verbal that comes out of your mouth. You notice at the end of verse 15, he says, as concerning giving and receiving. A back and forth. He says this communication, real communication, is giving and receiving. Paul gave to this church. They received it. They gave to him. He received it. It was a back and forth deal. Communication is back and forth. And back, that's what real communication is. Now, look at Luke chapter 24, because there's another word connected with this word communication. And what God wants to do in our hearts is communicate with us. And that is not a one-way street. That's giving and receiving, back and forth. If you recall, as you turn to Luke 24, when Abraham and God had a big conversation in Genesis chapter 18, at the end of the chapter, the Bible says when God had left communing with Abraham was talking to God and God was talking to Abraham. It was not one-sided. It was back and forth. And look at Luke 24. Because that word is used again. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. Watch it now. And they talked together. Together. Not one of them talking. They're both talking. They're both listening and talking. Right? By the way, if you're not listening, there's no communication. And if you're not talking, there's no... It has to be back and forth. They talked together of all the things which had happened. Look at verse 15 now. And it came to pass that while they what? Commune together. Commune. Communication. They talked together, they communed together, and reasoned. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of what? Communications are these that you have one to another, back and forth, giving and receiving. With that in mind, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, here's our problem. And this is the problem with God communicating to us. Many times it's a one-sided deal. God's given plenty, but sometimes they're short on the receiving end. There have been enough messages preached this week that God has tried to communicate with the hearts of his people, but that can only happen when there's not just giving, but there is receiving. And it goes back and forth. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the what? The what? The communion of what? Of the Holy Ghost. Again, what's our definition of communion? Now, God wants me to commune with him. He doesn't just want to talk to me. He wants me to talk back. He wants to talk to me and he wants me to listen, and then he wants there to be a giving and receiving. He wants there to be a communion. The church at Philippi communicated with Paul. It was back and forth. There was fellowship. There was relationship. There was receiving. There was giving on both ends. You know what we ought to be as God's people? We ought to be like that. Those little baby chicks with our mouths wide open. You ever seen those pictures? And their mouth is just wide open, you know. And mama bird is gone all day and got all the worms and got all the food and worked so hard to bring it to the baby chicks to drop it in their mouth. And the baby chick, the mouth is just open, you know. I'm ready to receive.
How many times has God tried to give something in our mouths? Or... and there's no communication. And God can't get to you what he's trying to get to you. And you're not getting to God what he's wanting you to get back to him. There's no communion. There's communion between the church at Philippi and the Apostle Paul. Giving, receive. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Get Galatians chapter 6, and with the other hand, get 1 Timothy chapter 6. Christianity is not a one-sided thing. And when we get down onto this text, the communication is not just them giving a gift. It's much deeper than that. What they are sharing with Paul and what he's getting back to them is much deeper than just the casuality of spoken word. Galatians chapter 6, the Bible said, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word, what's the word? Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Of course, that can be giving. But that's a communion. That's you're receiving and you're giving. Man, I don't want to be that stagnant pond that just the water flows into and it never flows out of it. It stinks. It's filthy. The communion, the communication is coming in, it's going out, it's coming in. It's going out. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. 1 Timothy chapter 6, watch this. What he says about those that have been blessed with riches. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now watch this now. Who what? Giveth. You see that giving? Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. But look at the next verse. That they what? Do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to what? God is giving. They are receiving, but they need to communicate. Maybe the death of modern day Christianity is just all one-sided. Look at Philemon, verse 6, communicating. I'm just trying to lay a groundwork because God is desirous of communion. Not just with us and him, but with us and each other. But so many times in our Christian life, we're not careful. We're just interested in one side of the stick. Philemon, wonderful book of the Bible, right? Bible says in verse 6 that the communication of thy faith. Well, now, how did he get faith? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? God had done something in the life of Philemon. God had placed something in the life. Philemon had received something from the Lord. He had received, Paul was used in his life to save his life. And now Paul says, now, look, you need to communicate that, not just receiving, but giving. And this guy that I'm sending back to you, though he's stolen from you or wronged you or whatever, I want you to receive him. I want you to love him. I want you to give to him. Because don't just stay on the blessing end, communicate that faith. Show it to somebody else. Prepare him a place of lodging and prepare me a place of lodging. And Philemon, I don't tell you how that you owe your own self to me, how much you've been given by God, but now turn it around and start pumping it out the other way. That's Christian life. You know what's sad? Most of the communication in this generation is not back and forth with the Lord or back and forth with the people of God. But sadly, a lot of Christians communicate with Verizon and DirecTV and Facebook and Dillard's and Bass Pro Shop and Disney. In other words, They're giving and they're receiving all the time. I just mention those because it's just, you know, we give to that thing, we get something back out of it, we give to it, we get something back out of it. Life, that's our lives. Putting something in, getting something out. But it has nothing to do with God. And Paul said, what communion hath light with darkness? Why is there such a back and forth with everything in our Christian life except the back and forth with God and his people and his work and his will? Back and forth. Giving to this world, giving to other things, receiving. But God. Now go back to my text, because when I look in the text, he says very plainly in a certain type of communication, he says in verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, they didn't communicate. Remember, that's back and forth. The Philippians participated in the afflictions of Paul. They communicated with it. They gave to him, but they also received something from him. You know, the Bible says, wonderful, positive verse, 1 Thessalonians 3:3. You know, the Bible says we are appointed. Calvinists, don't want to talk about this one, but we're appointed to afflictions. It's an appointment. You know, like it's appointed unto men once to die. God says if you're saved, you're appointed to afflictions. Hallelujah. And why does Paul have the attitude he's got? Well, this is just my appointment. This is my appointment. This is what I'm supposed to bear. I'm not going to be like the ones Jesus talked about. And when affliction ariseth, I'm going to be offended and bear no fruit. I'm not going to do that. Hey, this is my appointment. This is part of my Christianity. This is part of my new life in Christ. Hallelujah. All that live godly in Christ, ye shall suffer persecution. This is part of my life. I just expect it. And so he's afflicted, and the Philippian church is afflicted with him. And the afflictions that are in Paul's life, look over with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The afflictions that are in Paul's life produce this back and forth, this giving and receiving. And it's a wonderful thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says in look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, who comforted us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. In other words, God communicated to you comfort, so now what do? You give it out. I really think that's why Christians are so miserable. What God's trying to put in, they're not putting anything out, or they're not receiving what he's trying to put in. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now watch it now. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. I got affliction, but I'm giving out consolation. I receive suffering, but I'm giving out comfort. Communication. I receive something so I can give something. Which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings. Look at it. Which ye also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. I receive this so I can give you something. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers. Look at it. Partakers of the sufferings. So shall ye be also of the consolation. You know, all these churches that hooked up with Paul experienced the same suffering he did. They had to bear the same ramifications. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You communicated with my affliction. You got in the same boat with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Bible said in verse 6, and you became followers of us. So did the church of Philippi. And you became followers of us and of the Lord.
having received the word in much what? In much affliction. With what? Aren't you glad God puts that in there? He's not just going around passing out the lumps of coal and the affliction. He's also passing out the joy. But why? Why is God communicating that to these Thessalonians Christians? Verse 7. So that, why? Because they had received this from God, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. You see what they've done? God's done something in their heart, and in turn, they're sending it out of their lives. They've received from God affliction. They've received from God joy. And at the same time, they're giving out the word of God. They're being in samples to the Lord. They're living the Christian life before others. It's receiving and giving. That's communication. And in the process, they're having communion with God. Amen. 2 Corinthians, I was just there, but look at chapter 2. I didn't read all the verses there. Look at chapter 2. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love that I have more abundantly unto you. Paul said, I had much affliction and anguish in my heart. But you know what came out of that? A letter to you. I received affliction. I received anguish of heart. I received many tears. But you know what you got out of it? You got the word of God out of it. If Paul hadn't gone through what he went through in our lives, we wouldn't be reading the book of Philippians. We wouldn't be reading the book of Corinthians. We wouldn't be reading the book of Thessalonians. In other words, what we get out of the Apostle Paul's pen is what God's worked in him. He says, okay, Lord, I'll just put out what you put in. Look at chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is a reference to the church at Philippi. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how in a great trial of what's the word? You see, they fellowshipped with Paul's sufferings. They communicated with Paul's sufferings. They shared in his sufferings. They partook of his sufferings. Just like he was poor in the jailhouse, they were poor back at Philippi. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, there it is again, abounded under the riches of their what? That they've received affliction, they've received poverty, but out of their lives comes joy and out of their lives comes giving. And we got all this joy in Philippians. And so many Christians want the joy in the Philippians, but they don't want to communicate with the affliction. They just want it one side. Isn't that what happened in Joseph's life? Was there ever, besides Christ, such an illustration of affliction but in Joseph? And Joseph received all that affliction, and yet his life was one that fed the world and gave to the world and saved the world. He received, but he gave. Colossians chapter 1. When Paul says, you communicated with my affliction, and he says, it's a good thing you did that. He's speaking from experience because Paul knew about communicating with somebody else's affliction too. And what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 was, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the... You know what fellowship is? That's communion. That's not just one way. That's back and forth. God working in Paul's soul. Paul's soul given back to God and the communion and the fellowship. He says, I know something about the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. And because I learned something about that affliction, I'm able to give out of that abundance. Colossians chapter 1, would you look at it? Verse 24. Well, look, at in verse 23, he says, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You see that? You know what a minister does? He gives, he gives, he gives, he gives, he gives. He gives of himself, he gives of his time, he gives his preaching, he gives his heart. Whereof I am made a minister. Look at it now. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Look at it now. This is so weird. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister of God. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of grace of God. He says, there's a deficiency in my life that needs to be filled up. There's something I'm a little behind on. I'm behind and I need to fill up the afflictions of Christ in my body. Little by little, it's getting a little, you know, it's getting in there, but the afflictions of Christ, I needed to fill it on up, because the more my tank gets filled up of the afflictions of Christ, the better I am at ministering to you. And the more he gives me those afflictions, the more I'm able to minister it out. Anybody want to volunteer for the ministry? You want to know why Paul knew God so well? Back and forth. Behind, I need it filled up. It's even deeper than that. Would you go to 2 Corinthians 4? Paul says in verse, he talks about all these things God's given us his glorious gospel. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But then he says, well, along with that, what else God's given him? He's given him, verse 8, trouble, and he's perplexed, 9, persecuted, cast down. Look at verse 10, though. Always, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Now, I'm not an English major, but the dying of the Lord, he didn't say the death. He said the dying. That's a present participle. Now, I know Jesus Christ died once and for all and forever, okay? I understand that. But Paul says, In my life, I'm bearing in my life the dying of Jesus and the afflictions of Jesus and the sufferings of Jesus. I'm fellowshipping with his dying and his afflictions and his sufferings. And I'm communing with him and receiving from him. And as I live my life, I'm dying daily and I'm obedient to death. And the death of Jesus Christ is played out in my life so that the life of Jesus Christ may be given and manifest to other people. Amen. He's communicating his dying in my life, and I'm giving out his life to others. Hebrews 13. Paul said, you did well, Philippi. You communicated with my affliction because I know something about that. I've been communicating with the afflictions of Christ. And the joy that I've been getting by communing with the afflictions of Christ is the same joy you're going to get by communing with my afflictions. Hebrews 13, the Bible says, verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Watch this. Bearing his reproach. You know that Bible talks about bear ye one another's burdens, right? That's communion. That's sharing that burden. The Bible talks about weep with those that weep, right? The Bible says if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. A lot of times we have a hard time communicating with each other that burden and that affliction and that suffering just with one another. Because we're so wrapped up in our lives, we can't communicate with the lives of others. But a lot of times we're so wrapped up in our lives, we can't bear his burden. We can't bear his reproach. We can't receive his suffering and his affliction. Verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice to praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to what? Communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices is God well pleased. We receive the privilege to bear his reproach. And we communicate that, we give, we receive. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. You want to commune with me? Is this just going to be one way? Or will you receive my yoke? Will you take up your cross? I got two more verses and I'm done. Did you get Isaiah 63? This church communicated with Paul's affliction, but I have a sneaking suspicion that Paul's trying to get their communication and communion to be a little bit more than just with him. Isaiah 63, verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. Hadn't he been that to you? And the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us. You see that? And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. But I want you to look at verse 9. In all their affliction, what does it say? He was afflicted. God said, every time my people were afflicted, I was afflicted. I shared in their affliction. Is it any wonder why that Paul, when he met Jesus, Jesus said, why persecutest thou? He was afflicting Jesus because he was afflicting his body. He was making Jesus suffer because he was making the body of Jesus suffer. And Paul in his life said, you know, Lord, I passed out enough affliction to you. Why don't you pass some of that to me? And as I have afflicted your body, why don't you afflict me so that I can be a blessing to your body? Because what I gave out to your body, I want that to be reversed. And I want to be able to give something from what I've received of the light that you've shined in my life.
I've afflicted you, but I want to bless you now. Giving and receiving. You say, well, that's about Paul. Did you look at chapter 53 of Isaiah? Verse 4. Surely, surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and what? Afflicted. 7, he was oppressed, and he was what? Afflicted. Why? The Son of God looked down and he said, I want to communicate with you. I want to give and receive with you. And I want to share and have a part in your afflictions. I want to take your sorrow. I want you to communicate and give to me all of your griefs and all of your burdens and all of your sin and all of your shame and all of your brokenness. And I just want to take all of that from you because I want to give and receive with you. And I'm taking all that into my body. And maybe a Christian would respond, Lord, thank you for doing that. Can we do this back and forth? If you're willing to be afflicted for me, Lord, what can I bear for you? And I think I can hear the Lord sort of say, as Paul said to the Philippians, notwithstanding, it's not like I really need you to do it for me. I'm all right without you doing it. I don't have want. I don't have need. I'm sufficient in myself. I bore your affliction. I bore your pain. I bore your sorrow. I took it all. It's not like I have to have that from you. But if you want that, well done. Well done. Jesus bearing that cross up Calvary's Hill. Hey, Simon, take this guy's cross. Bear it up the hill for this guy. Simon, come along. Lord, I bear your cross. Well, it's not really like I need your help. It's not really like you have to do it. But if you want to be a blessing to my body, if you want to be a blessing to my body, well done. The body of Christ is still something worthy of blessing and bearing and suffering for. And why don't we not just receive? What we'll find in that is communion and joy, and at the end of the book of our lives,